but I'm Michael Murray. I'm Director of Programs of the American Association of People with Disabilities, and I am the National Coordinator for Disability Mentoring Day. And this is our first conference call for the Disability Mentoring Day coordinators. There are over 200 of you guys all throughout the U.S., and it is an honor to work with each of you. It's going to be a really exciting year. We've got some really exciting stuff going on in various different places that you guys are putting together, and it's a real honor to work with you. I know that Dana Fink, who is Program Assistant at AAPB, who is also on this call, both of us have just been amazed at the wonderful stuff that you guys are putting together, and it is a real pleasure to work with you guys. As I said, this is our first call of the year, and the goal of these conference calls is to give you guys a little bit of tips and pointers, but also at the same time to create an environment where everyone can share ideas with each other and learn from each other. So it's not just about you know, us telling you some things, but also you guys having an opportunity to share with each other what works in various different places. Part of my job is not only to offer you guys some advice and things that are working in other places and resources to make your Disability Mentoring Day a success, but also to work with employers such as Darden Restaurant and Walmart and Sam's Club and various other sponsors that we have who come on board for Disability Mentoring Day, who believe in seeing people with disabilities employed not only at their place of employment but all around. So part of my job is to connect them with you guys. One of our sponsors, which is Darden Restaurants, and Julio Suarez, who leads up their diversity over there at Darden Restaurants, was supposed to be on the call today, and I'm not sure whether he was able to make it. Julio, are you on the call? Okay.
No,
so I don't.
Del.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, this is Del Head, and I just logged on. I mean, I just signed on.
Okay. Wonderful. So it doesn't look like Julio was able to join us quite yet. He has said that there may be a possibility that there were a few other things going on. But nonetheless, we can go ahead and jump on board, get things moving and rolling, and talk about the topic that we've got for discussion today. Before I get started, I did want to say that we're recording this call. And the goal of recording it is a lot of folks may or may not be able to get on at a specific time, but once we've recorded it, we can actually download an MP3 file and then put it online so that you guys can go back and listen at your leisure, or other DMD coordinators who aren't able to make it onto the call will be able to listen in and learn from you guys and all of that. So again, the goal of today's call is not only to hear from two incredible coordinators to do some really incredible things, but also to give you guys the opportunity to offer your ideas, your suggestions to each other, and really continue to create this community so that we can all learn from each other. The topic for today's call is around state coordinators. And the reason that I made this the first call is because I feel I've seen a lot of the states that have state coordinators where folks are working with more than one Disability Mentoring Day program and supporting Disability Mentoring Day programs throughout their state, are oftentimes the states that are able to expand the fastest, that really grow and learn from each other. And I've seen a number of the states, which I'm sure are on these calls, do really incredible things with their state, and we're proud to work with them. Two folks that we asked to come on the call today who do an incredible job, and I think there's some that we can learn from them, and I know that they are excited to learn from you, is Sally Ash from the ABLE Trust in Florida, and Carrie Bacon from the Kansas Commission on Disability. So if you guys want to welcome them to the call as our panelists today before I jump into questions. So yay, Carrie. Yay,
nice
Sally. Oh, come on, guys.
Yay.
Just wonderful.
Yay.
Good. So so I'm going to jump straight in. I'm going to ask a set of questions and give them the opportunity to talk a little bit about what they do as state coordinators in order to support the DMD programs that are going on in their state. Then I'm going to open it up to you guys to ask them some questions and also to offer some comments so that we can do that. I'll ask you guys to hold your questions until they've had an opportunity to go through some of the things that we're going to talk about, and then we'll have an opportunity to learn from each other. Carrie, Sally, how are you guys?
Good.
Doing good.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm going to jump straight in. What do you see as the role of the state coordinator? I've said what I think the role is, but I think it would be good for you guys to define it a little bit. And we'll jump to Sally first, and then we'll let Carrie jump in.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. I was thinking about
I'm sorry. I just thought about it. You know, it might be helpful for the folks on the call before I jump into the questions to hear a little bit about the Able Trust and to hear a little bit about the Kansas Commission on Disability. So if you guys want to answer that question, also tell a little bit about your background and what you guys do apart from DMD.
Okay. I don't want to interrupt. You still want me to go first?
I do want you to go first. Jump in.
Okay, great. Well, I'm Sally Ash. I'm from Florida. I work for a state-level nonprofit and foundation called the Able Trust. My role is the assistant director of Florida High School High Tech and the state coordinator of Disability Mentoring Day, and I also oversee all of the RAMP Ready to Achieve Mentoring programs in the state of Florida, just in case some of you all may know about RAMP. With the Institute for Educational Leadership. And what we really like about Disability Mentoring Day in Florida is it complements all of our transition programs for youth, and it also helps us reach out to adult job seekers and veterans. The ABLE Trust was created by the Florida legislature in 1990, so we're about 21 years old this year, and we were created as the Florida Endowment Foundation for Vocational Rehabilitation. So we're a fundraising and grant-making organization, and what we do is we fundraise year-round, we write grants, and then we re-grant the money out into the community to organizations who work with people with disabilities in order to create successful employment outcomes. So anything we do here, anything a staff does, any program we decide to add to our mixture of programs has to have some sort of employment outcome as is can be defined by employment. Like, for example, our high school high tech students, some of them end up in post-secondary settings, which is great. That's considered a successful outcome. I think I'll turn it over to Carrie to tell us about her organization. Our board is appointed by the governor, and we're a member of governor's association of committees. So I think with that, I'll turn it over to Carrie, because I think that's similar.
Yes, it is very similar. The Kansas Commission on Disability Concerns is who I work for, and I'm what's called the employment liaison. We're a very small commission. We have two staff people, the executive director and myself, and we are actually very much connected to the state. We're state funded, and so all of our dollars come directly from state general funds. And we originally were considered a governor's committee for employment for people with disabilities. It is very similar to what Sally's organization was originally. Every state at one time had one. Many states still have them, but they're located in different areas of government. We're very employment focused. A lot of the work that we do is around employment, and I'm considered the state coordinator for Disability Mentoring Day. In regard to your question, Michael, about I'll go ahead and start on the second half and then Sally can follow up. As far as what I see as the role of a state coordinator, what I believe the state coordinator's role is to help local coordinators that are already functioning be able to do their job better or more efficiently if they need that help. So, for example, some local committees were a committee of one when I first started. And so I encouraged them to actually create a committee and have more involvement within the community so that the work was spread out more and they had more resources from the standpoint of people and knowledge base, that kind of thing. I also see the role of state coordinator as one of expanding Disability Mentoring Day across the state. And so I actively go out and meet with groups that I think might be interested in getting Disability Mentoring Day started in their community. Or if they approach me, I go and talk with them about that. And then it's also about working with other state committees or organizations to encourage them to participate in these local committees where it makes sense. That's the high level. That's the high level description. Sally, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Carrie.
And Sally, let me interrupt just for a second.
Oh, go ahead, Michael.
We've got folks with who have some background noise. I think if you dial *6, it will silence your phone so that we can all hear these guys really well. So jump in, Sally.
Okay, thanks. Last year, after we issued our final report, one of the local coordinators either called or emailed me, I can't remember, and she referred to me as a horse wrangler. And I've lived out west, but I'm not exactly sure exactly what a horse wrangler was, but that's her term for me as state coordinator of Disability Mentoring Day. And I think over time I've thought about that a lot, and I think what it means is you have to be a master communicator, and I believe that's the number one role of a state coordinator, probably of any program, and it just works for Disability Mentoring Day. The reason I say that is in the day-to-day of coordinating and growing and promoting this kind of event, you have communications with several distinct layers of your community or your statewide community. I work with state-level agency heads and public relations staff here in our capital city to get the word out to the network across the state that this is a wonderful event. It will benefit your consumers. Please join, and we will support you. I communicate with the local disability organizations, both their leadership and their program staff, on a day-to-day basis. Once they, you know, get the word about Disability Mentoring Day and decide, hey, we do want to do this, how do we start? Then on another day of the week, I may be speaking with an employer who wants to become involved or who wants to support a local site through an in-kind donation or wants to jump on board as a sponsor, yay, statewide, and wants to give us a donation, but they need me to complete this grant application and it has to be signed by our CEO. So I have to communicate with all these different layers. We work with all kinds of employers here in Florida. I have Disney World, American Express, NASA, and then you mentioned Darden Restaurants will be on the call. Well, in the morning, I might be emailing a restaurant manager. In the afternoon, I might be talking to an engineer at NASA who has a disability but wants to participate as a mentor. So you have to learn how to communicate with all these different perspectives. And it's been so much fun to learn how to do that. I value every moment I've spent with Disability Mentoring Day. On another day, just to shoot this point home, I might speak with mentees who've seen my poster in a public supermarket and want to participate. I might speak with a mentor who's had a good experience or a bad experience, God forbid. Sometimes we get calls from the media. We have to help our site present to the media. So all of those have to do with that communication piece. Our leadership here at the Able Trust does more of this, but we communicate ongoing with our governor's office about the work of Disability Mentoring Day because we think it's important to the Florida economy and job market. And we also, day-to-day, I get to talk with great folks like Michael Murray up at AAPD and my folks over at Institute for Educational Leadership to learn from the best on how to promote these mentoring programs. So, communication.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, thank you, Carrie, and thank you, Sally. I think that that is a really good overview and almost answers most of the questions. But for the sake of getting a little bit deeper, I think I'll go on. But just to say that these two guys really do incredible stuff in their community, and every coordinator who's connected with either Kerry or Sally has nothing but incredible things to say about them. So we're lucky to have them on the call today. How did you guys start as state DMD coordinators? What was the kind of the starting point? Was it jumping into a job, or was it it just kind of happened? How did that come to be the case where you were working with so many different programs throughout your state?
Go ahead, Kerry.
Okay. It was kind of part of the job. When I first started working with KCDC, we had a state coordinator, and but we didn't have very many local committees. We had a few, but not a lot. And when I came to understand what the program was about, I really felt that we needed to make this happen across the state, because I really see Disability Mentoring Day as a means of changing attitudes and breaking down a lot of those barriers. And so to me, the challenge was, the more we could get Disability Mentoring Day out in the communities, maybe the less we would have a need for Disability Mentoring Day in the long-term future, because
Absolutely.
There wouldn't be barriers.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Sally?
What I think I'll do is not describe my personal involvement, but why the ABLE Trust chose to start this, start participating in Disability Mentoring Day. This is our 11th year in Florida, but it's only the 10th year the ABLE Trust has been involved, and we jumped on board that second year in Florida because, like Kerry said, we just saw the value, and we saw that it was something that would probably change attitudes and break down barriers, and that was a part of our charge in our original mission, was to provide public education opportunities. And back then, that was way before my time at ABLE Trust. I came on board with DMD in 2006 and 2007. But back then, they used it as a public relations and public education tool. So they started small. And this is some advice. Start, you know, with who you know. We had a small network of high school high-tech programs, and we had a small network of business leadership networks. And it takes two for DMD. It takes the mentees and it takes the mentors, and we had a small pocket of both. And that's how they started way back in the day. They matched mentees from our high school high tech program with mentors they recruited from the business leadership network in Florida. Now, over time, I have no public relations or marketing background at all. So when I took the program on in 2007, it took a turn. We still tried to keep anything that had worked well in the past intact and promote the program in the same way and provide the same kind of resources, but we took it more of the angle as this is a program of our organization that we see a huge value in. Several organizations across the state are allegiant to this, and we want to make it more flexible so that our employers and potential mentors and potential donors can have something to do hands-on so that they can get a good experience. And then that change, that original changing attitudes that we talked about in the beginning, it goes to a different level. So that's sort of where we are now, and that's how we've seen such growth in Florida, because we made the experience just a lot more flexible and not just a way to get positive media attention and or engage your employees. But we're really taking this to the next level and using it as a catalyst for change kind of experience.
That's great. That's great. Next question I think might be a little bit harder, and I'm actually throwing – I gave most of the questions to you guys beforehand, but we'll throw this one out there. What would you guys say is the most challenging part about being a DMD state coordinator? And what would you say is the most rewarding part of being the state DMD coordinator? And And this time we'll start with Sally and go to Carrie.
No, that's no fair. Okay. So let me restate the question. What is the most challenging and what is the most rewarding?
Part of being the state DMV coordinator.
Well, I'd take the easy answer and say all of the above. That communication piece between all of those players is not easy. And I wanted to mention, I heard Carrie say they're a staff of two. Well, I don't know if you guys realize all of the things we do, but we're a staff of only eight. So it takes, you know, the challenge is finding stakeholders and keeping them engaged. And at the same time, that's also the rewarding part because we've figured out how to do that. And I love hearing people have positive experiences because when a mentee has a positive experience, I know I'm doing my job. And when a mentor has a positive experience, I know that change is happening. And years from now, we won't need a disability mentoring day.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. Terry?
Well, I think that Sally touched on it, but I'm going to talk about it just a little bit more. And that when she talked about finding stakeholders and keeping them, it's to me it's really about finding the coordinators and local committees that are there for the long haul. That's really the most challenging, and it is the most rewarding because when you get that in place, and Kansas has many in place that are in there for the long haul, that are good, they know what they're doing, and they have that commitment in place. It makes my job so much easier. But the other piece of it is when you have an economic downturn like we have and people's jobs change, it is a struggle at times that if you don't have things set up on committees, so that you have co-chairs or a chair and a vice chair and people are sharing responsibilities, then it's easier for committees to fall by the wayside and you have to do more work to keep them in place. And so for state coordinators, making sure that you have strong committees in place to begin with and that they understand what a strong committee looks like and how you make that happen is really, really important. And we emphasize it a lot here, but I'm not sure everyone always gets why it's so important. But, you know, if someone leaves because of a job change or whatever happens, and the committee's like, well, we don't know if we're going to have DMV next year, we basically start all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has to be tough. But also at the same time, when you get a good committee going, that has to be rewarding.
It's awesome. And really that's why Kansas gets a lot of accolades. It's not necessarily because of me. It's because there are a lot of people in Kansas have a huge commitment to employment for people with disabilities, and they have put a lot of time and effort into it at the local level. And a lot of those people are on this call right now, I can guarantee you.
Oh, absolutely, and that's ditto for Florida.
I know.
The person stirring the pot and communicating between all of these dedicated folks.
Yep.
All right. One more question, and I think we'll open it up to some other folks on the call. You guys, I know, having worked with not only this program, but also worked on the state level, being the state coordinator for a nonprofit that was coordinating volunteers throughout the state, which is always tough. How do you guys deal with the situation when you've got a committee or a coordinator that you're working with that may not be doing exactly best practice or something that you may not necessarily agree with? How do you guys kind of work with that coordinator, or how do you deal with that situation? Or on the same notion, if you've got a business that you don't feel is quite doing exactly what they need to do, how do you guys work with them and support them to move them in the right direction?
Well, this is Carrie. It depends on how big of a deal it is. There are some things that I don't think are probably as big a deal as other things. If we're following the philosophy of Disability Mentoring Day and making sure that we have mentors and mentees, or that we're making sure that all disabilities are represented, that we're making sure that everyone has an opportunity, then some of the other things I'm looser on, if that's a good way to put it. Sometimes if there are things that do need to have discussion, I'll just make an appointment to go and have a conversation with the whole committee and just go through a conversation about here's what Disability Mentoring Day is supposed to be about. And I do a big overall picture of how Disability Mentoring Day is supposed to look, that's kind of what Sally and I have been talking about today. And then to talk about here's what a committee would look like and here's some of the things that we really encourage committees to do. And usually in those things, they're not following one of the things that we encourage committees to do, and then we can have that conversation. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Makes perfect
I try not to just say, oh, you're doing this wrong. It's more of an education thing, because usually it really is an education thing. It's not a philosophy thing. It's, you know, this really works better if you think about it this way.
Great. Great. Sally?
Exactly everything Terry said. My initial reaction to your question was call them and talk about it. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I'm sitting here racking my brain and I'm thinking, gosh, we haven't had I can't say we haven't had one single problem in 6 years, but I mean, I really can't think of any big issues that have come up. There have been small things, and like Terry said, it has nothing to do with the person's philosophy, because anybody doing this has some sort of good intention, or they wouldn't be doing it at all. It's mainly stuff that comes up with logistics, honestly, and just simple problem solving. And by the very nature of being a state coordinator, you know how, well, we have 67 counties, so I know how 66 other folks are doing this, so I can make plenty of suggestions to the 67th person who's having the problem, and usually they'll find something they like and move on. So it's, you know, just working with different perspectives and helping people work through things.
Great. And I can tell from both of you guys' responses that if you don't see any problem as a real problem, it's mostly just another opportunity to learn and grow. So that's an amazing way to look at things. I think at this point, we, in order to honor everyone's time, we'll open up the floor to some of you other guys if you might have some questions. I'll tell you, one of the things that I, as the national coordinator, am working to do is I would like to see some states be able to come together, talk with each other, and this would happen at a later date, most likely after DMD is over. But I'd love to see some states strengthen their state coordinators and support them even more, and then also maybe see some folks, some states that don't have state coordinators, someone say, you know, I think that I could do this, and I think that you hear from Sally and Terry that it is a very rewarding job. It's worth doing, you know, and it definitely takes a lot of skill from these guys, but it's worth the energy that they put into it, because you see two incredible states doing just incredible stuff, and I know a lot of other states that are on the call, their states are doing incredible stuff too. So now I'll open up the floor. I'll let you guys ask Sally and Terry some questions, or if you'd like to make some comments. In order to honor everyone's time, I am going to ask that people keep their comments to 2 to 3 minutes, you know, keep your questions short and concise, so that I don't get confused. If you guys don't want to confuse me, I might start crying, and that's never fun. So we'll jump in and let people ask some questions or make some comments. Nobody?
This is Patty Lehigh from Memphis. You have to understand, a lot of us, this is our first time, we're not sure what to ask. We are flying by the seat, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
this is Dana. I'd like to know
kind of how you guys started up your committees to begin with, how you decided what people were right for the committees, and how you continue to maintain those committees as well. I think that might be something that's helpful to people.
Well, I'm a committee of one. All I did was come to an employee resource group meeting and got told by our groups up in New Jersey, well, great, you're going to lead DMD in Memphis. And that's it, you know, and I'm trying to work full-time and doing all these things. I've got two kids with disabilities. I am very tightly tied into the community here, but I don't have all the time I need to take care of it. So I'm actually on the lookout trying to recruit as many people as I can here at my site.
This is Brian Ellison from Kansas City, specifically Overland Park, Kansas, and I just thought I would mention to help some of you that I've been doing this for 7 years, and Carrie, I just want to mention, has done a great job for Kansas, and she got me started here in our area, and basically what I did, being involved in disability issues and working with Centers for Independent Living, I just made contacts. Like Carrie gave me the directions and met with me and a few people, and I just started contacting organizations, education institutions, and employers. And over the years, it just gradually kind of grew. And then each year I would do my event, I would ask a new person. Like, for example, last year I asked a couple employers who participated in our career fair if they would be interested in being involved in the committee. And they'd been involved in the career fair, like, for a couple of years, so they knew and were familiar with me. So basically, I developed that relationship with employers and some organizations. And over a period of time, I've been very fortunate that I've had organizations and employers that have been with me 3, 4, 5 years, even some for 7 years. So that's kind of how I started. I just started small, and then over time just asked people as I got to know them and develop relationships with them as they got involved in DMD, and they kind of stuck with me and stayed with me. So I've been real fortunate in that respect. So if that helps any of you that are getting started, you just kind of start small and just develop those relationships, and over time they hopefully will become involved and work with you.
Yeah, and Brian, that's a great answer. And we can tell that Carrie's been working with you, because that's just a wonderful way to look at it. And also I'd like to offer to my friend in Memphis that if you need some extra support, feel free to email dmd@aapd.com, or you can call me at AAPD, and we're here to work with you guys. We're also going to have another conference call in this series that is called Back to the Basics. And the goal was to talk about what are the basics of setting up a disability mentoring day, how can you make it happen. We're going to point to some of the resources that are online and the guidebooks that really walk you step by step into creating a really strong disability mentoring day program. I'm going to jump back to Dana's question and let Sally and Carrie answer that. Did you guys catch the question, Sally and Carrie?
Can you repeat it?
Yeah, so this is Dana from AAPD as well. I wanted to know how you guys went about starting your state committees once you got involved in that role.
Carrie, you want me to go first?
Sure, go ahead.
Again, I speak before my time began at the Able Trust. The state committee or the Disability Mentoring Day program was taken on as a public relations program. And the person who was employed here had a great network of public relations and human resource network, and that was how they started with the disability organization. So, for example, you might have the Director of Public Relations for Vocational Rehabilitation. She's working with the Commission on Transportation Disadvantage. She's working with public relations firm. She's working with a volunteer Florida, which is our Governor's Commission on Volunteerism, and people that it makes sense to involve them, but it was people that were already involved in other programs. So I think the answer for all of you would be to start with what's natural for your organization. If you're a center for independent living and you've got a board of directors, maybe that's your first core group of employers. It just depends on what's natural for you and how you want to start. I'm not sure I would recommend just devising what you want your DMD to look like and start cold calling, but figure out some ways that it's already organically happening. If you have a transition program already, you're already working with some employers, and you're already doing job shadowing. I know that's the case with our RAMP mentoring program, and they're going to start recruiting disability mentoring day mentors just from the pool that already exists. So hopefully that will give a little background. And it just grew from there. And over time, our statewide planning committee has, you know, it's waxed and waned. Members have moved off and new members have come on, and we've realized that all of the input that the different members have has really helped our program to just become richer. For example, we've never had anyone on our statewide planning committee until this year who worked with the Veterans Administration, and this year we have two people. So now we're really able to reach out into that network of veterans in Florida, and it's going to completely change the look of our DMD this year.
Wow, that is so exciting.
Very exciting.
That's great. Yeah. Jump in, Carrie.
Well, I have to tell you, our state committee has, in general, waxed and waned. But I think Sally has a very good point about getting organizations that you're already involved in your program. And if you're not sure what the advantage is of having a committee, let me give you an example. We had problems with, there were, you know, when you have limited resources, I shouldn't say that, but when you have limited resources, sometimes people aren't sure where the priority should be. So with vocational rehabilitation people in Kansas, sometimes they would be invited to be on a DMD committee, but they would not participate. And because we had a state committee that had a vocational rehabilitation person involved and committed, I could, if I got a call that said, we're not getting any support from VR, and we would really like to, I could send a message over to my VR representative, and they would send out a call to their regional person, and they would get back with me and say, here's the person they need to contact. They already know about it, and we had much better communication and much more support, and it was coming from the home office. So those are some instances where that kind of committee and that kind of support is very helpful, and it enhances the communication because sometimes a state agency will say, yes, we're supportive, but it doesn't always get all the way down to the people who are working at the front lines who don't always know what all the priorities are. So that's just one example of why it's important to have a state committee and have people, a variety of different people on your committee.
Well said. Well said.
Let me jump back in. Another reason to have a state committee is nobody can do this by themselves. I mean, it really takes a team and all kinds of talent to promote this from different angles. You got somebody who's expert as a designer so they can do your brochure. You've got someone who's a social worker who knows how to work with people and knows the background in the disability world. You've got people representing, you know, all the different facets. So you just can't, one person can't do it well.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that the both of you guys hit on is don't be afraid to start small. You know, one of the great things about having sponsors like Walmart and Darden behind DMD is that you could get five students, you know, set up a small little committee and say that we're going to start with 5 or 15 students and we're going to take them to Darden restaurants into a fans club. And if you just hit those two, then I would say that's a good first successful mentoring day. Would you guys agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a lot better to start small and grow from there, and then you can become, you know, the DMDs that have 300 folks on there, but that or 300 mentees and mentors. But that takes time. So there's nothing wrong with starting small and growing from there.
In 2000,
are there any other? Sorry.
Florida started with two mentees and two mentors exactly 11 years ago. And last year, we served 4,000 mentees and 1,000 mentors.
Yeah. And Disability Mentoring Day itself started with 11 young people in the Clinton White House. And now we have 20,000 young people throughout the U.S. Who are being served by Disability Mentoring Day through all of you guys. So, you know, the seed that's being planted is really, really very powerful. But I think that the point that Carrie was making is when you plant that seed, it's having the right soil around it to support it and help it grow. So having that committee surrounding that seed so that it can grow is very important, whether it's, you know, having a VR person, a business person, having some parents, having people with disabilities themselves is incredibly important. So those sorts of things. And we'll get to a lot of that stuff when we have our call called Back to the Basics. But I did want to open it up one more time for any questions. I think we've got time for maybe one more to these guys, just to ask them how they are able to do the great work they do as state coordinators.
Michael, this is Lisa Reisman in South Carolina. I've been a state coordinator for, well, since 2008, I guess.
You do a great job.
Well, and the only thing I'd like to add to what everybody has said is make sure you have on your committee a representative from your schools, because they're the ones that's going to help you figure out the timing of it all, help with transportation, coordinate transportation, and just a real essential variable of the committee. But that wasn't what I was going to say, though. The question I have is, last year we had a lot of problems in some of our areas with our national sponsors not wanting to participate. How do you suggest that we handle that?
If you guys don't mind, let me take this one. You know, the national sponsors, some of these guys the national sponsors are definitely behind Disability Mentoring Day and disability employment in every place, and they support it. Now, getting that to the company itself, sometimes, you know, getting it down into the company sometimes can be hard.
Right.
A big part of my job is working with the national level of these organizations, so that we can make sure to get things down. The best model that we've found that works is something that we use with both Darden restaurants and with Walmart, on the top corporate level. I work with them to communicate from their vice presidents and various other high-level folks and make sure that that information gets down on their side. And then from my side, or from me working with the DMD coordinators, I get a letter from the person at Walmart or the person at Darden Restaurant, so that you guys can have a letter in hand from
right.
the corporate office saying, this is what we want to do. Now, with that being said, you're always going to run into some folks who don't think that they can do it for one reason or another, or they're new, or they're not interested in it. And that's all part of changing hearts and minds,
right.
Which is the work that we've got to do. And there are some sponsors, for example, like American Airlines, who is a huge supporter and is able to do some really pinpointed stuff, but in some areas they just can't have job shadowing, so they can't have people coming into the airport because of security reasons.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of depends, but anytime that anyone has a problem with a national sponsor, I really encourage you not to engage the person on the ground in a negative way, or to argue with them if they feel like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm not interested, I don't want to do it. The best thing to do is to say, okay, thank you for your time, and then contact me. And I promise you that as soon as I get that, I will respond very quickly to you and do my best to work with the corporate level to make sure that on the local level those things happen. The last thing that we want to do as coordinators is put a bad taste in someone's mouth who has the ability to hire people. with disabilities. So we want to make sure that they, even if they don't want to do DMD, they still realize that, you know, we as people who support people with disabilities are just great. And I was rude to them, and they were still nice to me. Man, I feel like a jerk. I better hire somebody with a disability. That would be a better outcome than them walking away from us unhappy. So, yeah. And I know that you know all this stuff, and I think, you know, even just asking the question is helpful for everyone on the call. So I appreciate that. And I'd let Carrie and Sally, if you guys want to jump in with anything along those lines, to do so as well.
Could I add a comment?
This is Sally. I think that it's great what the Association of Americans with People with Disabilities does, bringing the employers who are interested to participate in every state. But again, it's up to you to do it locally and to start with who you know, whether you're local or a state coordinator, and bring your supporters together to do this one-day event as well. It's just another way to engage your stakeholders, whoever they are. And then in Florida, honestly, that's who we work with. And then if there's any national employers, they're just the icing on the cake. So that's sort of the attitude we take here.
And I think there was a comment from someone.
Yeah, this is Julio Suarez at Darden Restaurants, and I was just
Julio.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
I joined the call about 10 minutes after your call got started, so I apologize.
No, that's okay. We were asking about you, and we thought, well, we'll go ahead and jump in. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Julio Suarez, who is in charge of development or in charge of diversity at Darden Restaurants, and someone that we really appreciate. As you guys know, Darden Restaurants has been a huge supporter of Disability Mentoring Day, and we're glad to have you on the call. I'd like to open up for you to say a few words, if you'd like to, Julio.
Well, one is I think your comment, your response to the question, the last question, is absolutely correct. I think it's probably the best approach you can follow, and then engage you to try to manage that from the national relationship that you already have. Before I go on and talk a little bit about Darden's involvement with the Disability Mentoring Day program, I want to get kudos to Sally Ash at the Able Trust, because we're based here in Orlando, Florida. We participate in the program at a national level, but as you can imagine, there's quite a bit of participation that takes place in our home state. That is not necessarily because we're saying, hey, we have to participate at a higher level in Florida. It is because the network of DND coordinators is so robust in the state of Florida, and that's thanks to the Able Trust. So thank you, Sally, for building a robust network of coordinators in the state.
Our pleasure, and thank you.
Not a problem. I've never met you, Carrie, but it's funny that I live in Orlando, but I used to live in Overland Park, Kansas, for many years.
Oh, really?
I'm a Jayhawk, actually.
Okay.
I went to school at University of Kansas, graduated in 91, and then I lived in Kansas City. Excuse me, I graduated in 96. And then I lived in Kansas City for a number of years, working for Sprint mostly while I was there. So I haven't met you there, but hopefully down the road we'll have a chance to meet there. So anyway, Darden Restaurants, I hope that everybody knows who Darden Restaurant is now, but because we have been involved in the program for 9 years. This will be our ninth year. And we are the owners and operators of 6 restaurant brands, which are the following: Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Bahama Breeze, Longhorn Steakhouse, The Capitol Grill, and Seasons 52. Out of those brands, I have confirmation that 4 brands are going to be participating this year in the Disability Mentoring Day program, which are the same 4 brands that participated last year, and I believe are the same 4 brands that participated the year before that. I've been at Darden for almost 3 years, and again, we've been a sponsor at a national level and a participant in the program. So again, not just supporting it financially, but also putting sort of like the feet on the ground here by getting the restaurants involved. We have 1,800 restaurants plus in the United States. And with these four brands, we have somewhere, these four brands represent somewhere around 1,300 to 1,400 restaurants. So that's a lot. That's a lot of locations nationwide, and you can identify those locations by visiting darden.com, and there's a restaurant locator there, so you can identify which restaurant is nearest to you. But we have been very involved in the program, again, as a sponsor, but also as a participant, and we, although I know that the program is a bit flexible on the dates, I know mostly it kicks off in the month of October, and sometimes activities could take place even all the way to December. However, as you can imagine, in most businesses that are consumer-facing businesses, and certainly that's the case in the restaurant industry, the months of November and December are pretty hectic months and are very, very important for our business. So we tend to guide our restaurants to concentrate their participation during the last 2 weeks of October so that we provide a window of time in which they can participate, and that it's really at the heart of the Disability Mentoring Day program anyway. The weeks in which we're participating this year are between Monday, October 17th, to Thursday, October 27th. And I believe that Michael will be sending you a letter on the next week, which will lead to all this information.
Absolutely. And we'll be sending that out. This is the same letter that you guys got last year, very similar to it. Again, so that you can use that to communicate with the restaurant managers. We'll also be putting that letter online behind the closed login, so you guys will have to log in to get it on disabilitymentor.net.
So the dates really, we try to, the weekends are probably just not the best dates, right? So Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays are kind of rough, but if I can encourage you to work with our restaurants to participate during the following dates, which again will be detailed in the letter that Michael sends to you. It's Monday, October 17th to Thursday, October 20th, and then Monday, October 24th to Thursday, October 27th. And that's at, again, at Bahama Breeze, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and the Capitol Grill. And then, again, sort of trying to provide some direction to our restaurants. Our general managers and their staff are very, very busy individuals. Particularly our general managers are responsible for a lot of things. Anything that happens inside that restaurant, they are responsible for. So that involves a number of responsibilities that keep them very busy. So we try to provide some guidance. In terms of our guidance is that they participate in one of the three following ways. One is through job shadowing. So maybe they have one, two, maybe up to three individuals with disabilities that can come to the restaurant and do a little bit of job shadowing during one of the mornings there on those dates. Then we have an educational luncheon as a second option. Which is essentially a DMV coordinator and some students with disabilities come to the restaurant. They come into our complimentary luncheon, and then the general manager or somebody or the management staff comes and introduces themselves to the introduces the restaurant to the individuals who are there, and tells them a little bit about the different job responsibilities that are involved with the with working at the restaurant. And then the third option is say that all fails, right? You know, there's just not an opportunity to do the job shadowing or the educational luncheon. We allow our restaurants to do at least a meal donation. So let's say that there's a an activity going on, a DMD activity going on at a certain location, and they could actually deliver some food to contribute to the event. You know, we're not talking about feeding 300 people, though. We're talking about maybe, I don't know, somewhere around 10 folks, 15 folks or so. So So anyway, we have are very excited to again participate in the program. I think that Darton's demonstrated just the level of commitment here, again, not only by sponsoring, but also by participating. I hope that you have found this to be a positive relationship throughout the years, and we hope to continue that this year and into the future. And we really appreciate your engagement with our restaurants, and that, you know, while I manage this program here and I'm pretty in tune with what goes on with the AAPD and the Disability Lantern Day program, our general managers basically receive the information about the program, like, you know, some they're going to start receiving this information, I think, like next week. So pretty much during a one-month period, they get the information about the program, and then they get together with the DMD coordinator and make it happen. The biggest challenge we have is when there is no DMD coordinator in the market. So for you folks who are statewide coordinators, whatever you can do to build your statewide network, it will really, really help. Because when they don't have a Disability Mentor and Day Coordinator, we actually do allow them to still participate in one shape, in one way or another, is to simply contact a local school or a DMD, a disability-based organization that's locally based, and see if they can somehow contribute to their objectives. But you know, it makes things a lot easier if there's a DMD coordinator who knows what to expect, knows how to coordinate these things, than to have to go look for an alternative, right? Probably the biggest challenge we have, and this is of course a minority of what happens, but the biggest challenge we have is when our restaurants try to contact a DMD coordinator and the DMD coordinator doesn't get back to them, right? So, that again is a minority, but it does happen, and I've heard about it. And unfortunately, it kind of goes back to what Michael said, right? You don't want to leave anybody with a negative experience, because then maybe next year they won't be so gung ho about participating, right? So, and we all believe that this is a great program, otherwise we wouldn't be sponsoring it and encouraging over 1,400 of our students to participate. So. We really thank you for taking time out of your schedule to work with us, and we hope that you find this to be a positive experience not only for you but most importantly for the students that participate in the program.
Great, Julio, thank you very much, and I can tell you that we do find this relationship to be very beneficial. And every year when I'm looking through the final reports that the DMD coordinators turn in, the numbers from Darton restaurants are always incredibly high, and people love working with you guys, and we love working with you guys, and I'm really thankful for your support. And Sally, did you want to mention the award that you guys are giving to Julio? I think that would be appropriate.
Well, I hope I can do it justice. This isn't my department. It's a corporate. Is it the corporate mentoring award, Leo? I'm sorry.
It's your boss. I think must have come up with a funny award. It's called the Executive of the Year Award.
Well, congratulations, Julio, and largely a lot of that does have to do with your involvement in supporting the program. Darton Restaurants in Florida is also one of our awesome funders that we're real appreciative of. So I think the award might be something different than Disability Mentoring Day, but we appreciate all you do, and congratulations.
I'll be seeing you on Saturday, I hope.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, and I think that along with a number of other things, you know, this is not the only thing that Julio works on. So not only do we appreciate Darden's support, but Julio, we specifically appreciate your support, not only on the state level and the local level, but also on the national level. So thank you for what you do. I think at this time, we're running up on the amount of allotted time for this conference call. I would welcome you guys, just because we're running out of time. If you have any questions for Julio, you can feel free to email me at dmd@aapd.com, and then I can bring those questions together and be able to give them to Julio, because some of you guys might ask more than some folks might ask the same question as other folks, and we'll be able to answer it all in one fatal swoop. So, Julio, thank you so much. I'd also like to thank Sally and Carrie for coming on the call today. Both of you guys are incredible state coordinators. It is an honor to work with you. I have learned so much about Disability Mentoring Day from watching what you guys do and from paying attention to it and asking you guys questions. So thank you for being my teacher, and thank you for helping all of us, and thank you, all of you coordinators on the call. I look forward to talking to all of you guys on the next DMD call. If you guys have any questions between now and then, please don't hesitate to call or contact us at AAPD. We're here to support you. This conference call has been recorded and will be available online, again, behind those closed doors at disabilitymentor.net, because we know that some people who really wanted to come on the call today weren't able to. So it'll be a MP3 download, and people will be able to listen to it at their leisure, because I know you guys just want to hear our voices. So, again, thank you, everyone, for joining the call, and thank you to all of our speakers, and we'll talk to you guys again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.